Hi, this is Russ, Satanism 101, the course from Shatter the Darkness, Theology for the Third Millennium. It's the kind of courses that we believe need to be out there and taught, kind of as a cutting edge, preemptive teaching. And it's kind of taking the foundations of the Word of God, the basis of the Word of God. The Word of God is the grid, the biblical revelation. But again, all of the Word of God, not just portions of it. And we are taking this in light of the developments of the rise of satanic presence power in the world, as predicted in the Word of God by the Spirit of the Lord. So, as you are taking this course, stay prayed up, stay filled up with the Spirit of the Lord, and stay in the Word of God, and realize too, again, enjoy your life for the Lord. He's come to give you fullness of life in Christ. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So I pray that God's blessing and strength and might would be on every single researcher and student and those who listen to this session 11, part 2 in the course that deals with exposing and bringing to light a lot of the satanic agenda. But again, we're only dealing with the tip of the iceberg. This is just simply an overview. I think it's going to end up with like 25, 26 hours of material with pages and information. So it's a major undertaking, and I know that. But it's still, in my view, for some, it's materials they've never read in their life. But in my view, we're just looking at the the ABCs. The very basics. So the entire course is an overview. For example, in this course, Session 11, Part 2, this is we're going to be dealing with Aleister Crowley. And we got to realize something. I don't intend to read all of Aleister Crowley's books and materials. Don't want to. I've read bits and pieces. I have listened to him on recordings, his actual voice. I have read many others, and I've engaged Luciferians who practice his arts and practice his magic and are involved. Now, if you go to the shatterthedarkness.net website and look under the SIIU on our site, and if you go to that page, it involves our involvement in satanic crime. You'll see on the front page of Shadow of the Darkness a little picture of a little girl, Jackie Cooper. Now, I'm not going to go into a big story about this because it's a passion in my heart and life, because I had held this little baby in my arms along with her twin sister and blessed them and prayed over them. But eventually, when the individuals got away and went their own direction, a man got involved with the mother. The bottom line was the baby was ritually abused, ritually tortured, ritually harmed, and eventually killed, sacrificed and killed for the sake of powers for those who were involved. Now, the Akron Beacon Journal described the individual who is now in prison and was convicted for the crimes, and so was the biological mother. He described himself as a black pagan and talking to the biological father numerous times. And in my own delving into the entire investigation, he was involved with, he called himself a self-styled, basically, black pagan who was deeply into the Aleister Crowley studies and magic and so forth. Aleister Crowley. I mean, even Ozzy Osbourne sings about Mr. Crowley. Even Mr. Page from Led Zeppelin bought his home and is highly involved in all of the readings. If you are from the UK studying, you're going to realize that Aleister Crowley has, in the past and still to this day, and maybe even more so today, makes a massive, massive influence in the occult and pagan Satanism world in the UK, let alone the rest of Europe. Listen, when we get into dealing with Aleister Crowley, we're dealing with somebody that had massive influence while he lived in Europe, in Germany, in France, in Italy, also in England and the United States, who was involved in secret societies, who initiated new secret societies, who was in touch with and corresponded with Jack Parsons, the United States rocket scientist out of Pasadena, California, who is highly involved in the Crowleyan magic and the powers and dark powers that he himself and Ron L. Hubbard of Scientology performed the Babylon working out in the desert in the 40s. And also the Amalantra working that Crowley was involved with. And that's one of many. Listen, we're talking about years and years and years of rituals. We're talking about Aleister Crowley. And by the way, if you have the notes to this course, you are on page 25, simply an outline dealing with, number one, that he considered himself the Beast 666. He considered himself the most wickedest man on the face of the earth. Now, please realize that he had a Christian beginning, that he had parents that walk with God. And for him, it was like Karl Marx in a lot of ways, eventually also turned and became very satanic in philosophy and action. That's another story here. But Karl Marx would be very similar in the development of turning. But Aleister Crowley along the way turned and involved himself in drugs. And you're going to find that, here's a classic case of the world of drugs that took him into what he would consider other worlds and opened up spiritual doorways, et cetera, et cetera. The perversion of occult-oriented sexuality that brought dark powers, sacrifice, blood sacrifice, rituals that brought the powers and brought contact. I mean, you can read about, again, Aleister Crowley and his particular demon spirit that spoke and guided and directed. You can look at some of the materials I put on the web page that goes with this Session 11, Part 2. You can, again, on a research basis, look over the videos. And I've only put a few of the videos up about Aleister Crowley. And there's a lot of information. And I think it's good to have a background of understanding, because we're talking about an individual's life who, you know, he lost his life. He's lost forever. He's gone to hell. He died a pauper and sickly and at the end of his life, like Judas in a way, he lost his soul. He's gone. At one time, he was a little boy, a little child. But in the battlefield of this fallen world, other powers, you know, drew at him. Doorways of anger and all the rest of the stuff come in to play here. And along the way, he opened up to all the dark powers. Now, when you read and look at some of the videos and so forth, the materials we put out deals with the rituals, the sex, the drugs, Aleister Crowley and intelligence agencies, British intelligence agencies. Please understand that individuals in the intelligence agencies have been influenced by Aleister Crowley. Please understand that people in politics, people who have formed secret societies that are a part of secret societies. I mean, we infiltrated on a very basic level the Black Sun Camp of the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis, here in our area, where there was a Master Dan. I just wanted to kind of, you know, begin to see. Now, I don't know where they moved to. We eventually went back after three or four visits there, and we don't know what occurred to them or where they went. But again, like this other fella, Dan, that eventually used the kind of magic and eventually took the life of a little innocent, you know, I believe between the ages of probably 8 months and 13 or so, physically tortured, caused that baby to scream, cry, and writhe in pain. I want you to understand that Crowleyan magic is very dangerous. You can go onto the web, you can find Crowleyan magic as far as groups that meet, people that study, individuals that do it on their own. Even kids get a hold of the books. And by the way, Aleister Crowley understood the concept of a moon child. And he's got a book, a novel written out about, again, the concept of a human-demon hybrid. So he was in some of the deepest oriented occultic. I mean, he went everywhere to learn all that he could, but he also, you know, wrote an enormous amount of materials. And when he died, that didn't end. So point two on your notes, I want you to remember that Aleister Crowley, like Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan, a lighter level, they would all argue that issue, but still influences. I mean, the Church of Satan is still out there. And secret societies that that literally revere Aleister Crowley are still out there all over. In the United States, Canada, Australia, all through Europe. Yes, in Russia and other places too. And among the Brits. So there's great influence after his death. His books are in Borders and Barnes and Nobles and Kmart. And you could get them at Amazon and everywhere else. So you can get into some of the most... listen, if he's considered one of the most evil men in all of history as far as the things that he's done, and I'm telling you what, we're talking about the stories of decadence. I mean, he was ousted from countries because of the allegations of eating human flesh, sacrificing, killing humans, a massive decadence. I mean, I have story after story after story I can tell you of satanic rituals, and I just simply can't even bring myself to talk about some of the things they do, some of the pictures I've seen, some of the stories I've heard. Well, there's a reason why secret societies are secret. And if there are those that are in the NSA or in NASA that are oriented towards this kind of literature, that's a dangerous thing. When somebody is out there unaided by the Spirit of God, living empowered by that sarx, that fallen nature, well, Ephesians 2 tells us that the ruler of the power of the air, the ruler of the power of the air who is now at work, that Greek word work means a supernatural operative power that is operating, guiding a satanic synchronicity to lead them into the satanic agenda. The parable of the field, where the Son of Man comes and the Son of God comes and sows the word and creates the wheat. Then during the night, the evil one comes. Jesus told the story. This is what's been going on. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told that story. What do we think, that it was just a story? No, he put into a parable, a kind of earthly story, unveiling and revealing the core issue. In that story of that parable, Jesus reveals not only the reality of the evil one, but how the evil one works at night in the darkness, in secrecy, creating terrors. Aleister Crowley and Crowleyites would be those terrors, some of them anyway. So please realize that when you are studying, again, and just taking a simple overview of Aleister Crowley, of knowing that people like Ozzy Osbourne, Jimmy Page, and many other musicians have delved into his literature and sing about him and are influenced and have participated in the kind of rituals that in my own backyard, a little baby girl could be killed in the most horrific ways by an individual influenced and in using Aleister Crowley's materials. So, materials that he has written will lead individuals to open gateways and doorways that will literally bring demons. That will literally break open the gateways, the doorways, the realms. That will give the legal rights for demons to cross over. So, all throughout the United States, and wherever you're from too, whether Canada, Australia, you know, the UK, even Europe, wherever, you're going to have the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, and you're going to have many other kind of groups that would use his materials, and again, continue to unleash the powers. Now, again, some of those will do that as individuals. Others will do it in a group form. Others will take that material. No doubt Michael Aquino would be very familiar. I mean, you got to realize that even Anton LaVey and others would be very familiar with Aleister Crowley's works. And Aleister Crowley would be very familiar with John Dee and many other occultists of his day. But he's put out the material there, you know, again, and even in the revelations of the satanic workings, magic that he has brought out, that, again, we got the tip of the iceberg. And we don't have unveiled the kind of invocation of Antichrist or other massive rituals that can be done to unleash powers. But I do want to bring about one right now that I think is very important for us to understand, and that is the Amalantra working. Now, people have pronounced it different ways, Amalantra working. I'm just going to say the Amalantra working. I've heard it that way on programs. I've listened to those that were more part of Aleister Crowley's kind of group. I've engaged an individual that would have been somebody who practiced some of his magic, that knew him and read him, and would have known how to conjure. And I've engaged them. And we discussed the Amalantra working, which was a, and again, I've left some videos that I think give, again, historic insight into what he's done. Because it may have, in some individuals, and I've given you links to other articles and other places where there are those that believe that what Aleister Crowley did was open massive doorways that led to the current, well, even the, and that probably the Jack Parsons and Ron L. Hubbard Babylon working, where they tried to conjure what they considered was the prostitute or the whore of Babylon and bring forth and eventually create again a hybrid, but opened doorways in the 40s. There are many that attribute their spiritual workings, their ritual workings, as being part of that which opened doorways for the current phenomena among aliens, the Greys, the Roswell event. I mean, there are some that believe that there's a connection between the Amalantra working, the Babylon working, and the doorways that came open, what came from that side to this side that began to have legal rights and began to influence. Please realize the whole UFO stuff not only goes back to the days of the Nephilim, but was highly engaged by the Germans, the Nazis. And even back then, there was an attempt to use occult powers to conjure and to reach what they considered were superior beings. What Aleister Crowley and others and Jack Parsons would believe were superior beings. When I was in Roswell, New Mexico a few years back at some of the conferences, you know, getting a spiritual feel for the area and praying and prayer mapping the area and engaging myself in that realm as a Christian, going down there to really kind of engage abductees and listen to, you know, UFO researchers. So whether it's Stanley Friedman and Richard Hoagland and his materials now out of NASA and Michael Heisner and Guy Malone and Joe Jordan, those Christian guys down there that have done a great job. Listen, when you have millions of Americans that are now believing in the existence of UFOs and yet nobody really knows what they are, when you have military and private sector spending millions upon millions trying to engage, and when you have somebody like Dan Sherman, I didn't put any links here, but you can look up Dan Sherman, and I think it's called Project Preserve Destiny, where out of the NSA, National Security Agency, he claims that he was brought in as an intuitive who would be somewhat connected to some kind of machine that they have that is able to receive communication from otherworldly entities, aliens, superior beings. And when you read his material, of course, he's gone what I view as pretty much New Age with all of it. When I read the materials and how he was not permitted to be critical, be negative, to open his mind, to receive the communications without engaging, he was just to be a receptacle a passive receptacle. Now, see, that bothers me because I know when I was taught by a Eastern master, Golden Buddha Meditation, how to, you know, they literally taught us at a temple how to become extremely passive, that when these ascended masters or entities come to you and they want to literally begin to communicate to you, do not resist them, do not question them, receive them, welcome them. Don't do anything critical. Just let them come. And they might even want to come in and possess your body and speak through you as a channel. That is clearly the way you give doorways to the demonic realm and allow them to come through. I don't care if you call them extra-dimensional entities. The alien issue to me is all about extra-dimensional entities. And that we have demons on the ground. We've dealt with, again, hundreds of cases of demonization. And there are those that have dealt with the abductees, and we've dealt with a few. There are those that have understood now that using the authority of Christ and commanding these so-called little grays out of their room and out of their life, that it works. I have connected to the webpage for you the last article that we put out concerning Roswell. By the way, as I'm doing this now, I was supposed to be in Roswell. And can say that I was a little disappointed that I had my trip curtailed. And I trust divine providence and the Lord's leading and the reasons why that I am here and not down there. If God opens the door on the next morning, I will fly down there immediately and get the next 3 days, 4 days. But as of right now, I am here praying about, because I did a lot of research and had plans and had a lot of engagement for the Roswell thing this year. But as of right now, I am observing and praying through. And the reason why is, again, because of Jack Parsons, because of NASA, because of the NSA, because of the sheer openness in the American public concerning extra-dimensional entities, because there is clearly a connection between some of the darkest left-hand path occultism and rituals. There's a connection between that and the modern day phenomena of UFOs and the grays, the aliens that look like, you know, the big heads. Well, if you look at the web page that I've given you with these notes, or if you look at the newsletter we did concerning the spiritual convergence in Roswell here in 2008, July 2008, I connected a few of the articles that deals with Aleister Crowley's Amalatra working, in which a being named Lam, L-A-M, came through with a great big head, little eyes, that looks very similar to the grays and that most associate with the grays and believe that, and there's a lot of groups today, listen, there's people that today will involve themselves of taking this picture and staring at it and projecting their conscience out, you know, consciousness out to it and opening the doors to communicate with this being, look to communicate with this being. And they, listen, they're dancing on razor blades. Now, out of England, somebody wrote a book called The Curse of Aleister Crowley. So if you're interested in reading anything, read The Curse of Aleister Crowley by somebody who's written about the destruction, the trail of destruction that occurs. And I think that, if anything, read that material. JPL was the Jack Parsons labs and so forth that are still currently here today involved with NASA and with some of the most incredible technology. I mean, we're talking about agencies funded by tax dollars in the millions upon millions upon millions, where individuals celebrate Jack Parsons. Maybe that's why there's so many people in NASA and even the NSA that are involved in not only New Age practices, but left-hand practices, and are engaged in seeking the presence of these beings. Well, take a look at some of the videos we put on there. Realize, again, the influence is, Aleister Crowley's influence today is far more, effective than it was when he was around. because more and more and more and more people, his books are out there, and again, anybody can get into them, and they are, and they are. And we're wondering at times whether this Amalantra working is being done again and again and again, if people have parts of the actual working or something similar, conjuring the powers. In my past in the 90s, dealing with an individual that came out of Fort Bragg involved with intelligence agencies here in the United States, their involvement with individuals from the NSA and NASA, and their personal discussions with me about how they would come to rituals. I mean, again, don't think in terms of, you know, where demons are dancing around, it's all scary, whatever. I mean, very sophisticated seeming rituals, because they wanted to see about the powers. I mean, now we're dealing with the concepts of occult physics, time travel. I mean, I discussed all kinds of things with this individual. They're very versed in many different things, including remote viewing, but in a deep left-hand path occult orientation. Very familiar with Aleister Crowley, very familiar with the Amalantra working, very familiar with the ufology, the angelology, or the alienology, rather. So when we think in terms of, you know, Roswell 2008 in July, no matter, you know, I don't know if you get this, you know, when you're going to get this and all together, who's going to listen to it down the road. But again, by God's providence, as you're listening, I'm just asking, as a believer in Christ, how do you engage this? What do you do with the material? Some of you, you know, listen to this as you're driving down the road or at work and other places, jogging, whatever else. Others by the, you know, by your computers. Maybe some of you have downloaded the materials. And I've given you basically an outline to follow, to go through, to write notes. It helps us to learn better. Writing notes along with listening helps us to retain, you know, also. But again, I mentioned Revelation 16 here at, on page 25 at point 3. Aleister Crowley in opening the gateways. Obviously in his life, he completely opened gateways all along. Written books how to do it. And people have been doing it since. But it's very probable that he has opened massive doorways that has given rise to the current alienology that even occurs at Roswell. As I speak, thousands and thousands and thousands of individuals down there. And I call it a spiritual convergence, because most of the speakers and leaders and people involved down there will be pro-New Age, pro-alien, and many of the abductees, many of those who are wanting to conjure. I mean, there's those who teach principles from the Amalantra working with this being called Lamb, and how to do kind of a spiritual or psychic projection of consciousness, connecting with this thing and allowing it to come in and connect with you, and communications to go on. And again, that in itself is far beyond working with a Ouija board. You're literally knocking at the doors of the demonic. And it's very clear they will answer the door. And if you do the things necessary, they will come through that door. And they will bring influence. Now, biblically, they're revealed as seducing spirits. Who knows more about deception, seduction, deceit? Who knows more about the technology behind seduction, deception, and deceit than the demonic realm? Satan himself can masquerade as an angel of light. As an angel of light. The demonic world can come through and make themselves look like sweet angels. They can make themselves look at, they're the predators that can read the hearts and desires. They can literally, they're the con men that can con and look at people and see what it is that they're vulnerable to. And that would include what some people would think is some of the most intelligent people in the world. Physicists, astrophysicists, people with PhDs, that without the Spirit of the living God, without knowing the personal Creator Redeemer, they would be absolutely vulnerable to the other side. And that's why so many of them have opened up to New Age practices and even more sophisticated things that we find in the Temple of Set, that we find in Aleister Crowley, and that we find in what we'll look at here in a few sessions to come, the core Luciferian direct workings of raising and advancing the satanic agenda, including the coming of the Great Revolt and the Antichrist. So take a look, if you would, at the web page that we have put out there. We have listed a connection to JPL, the Occult Roots of NASA. We have listed the actual Babylon Working, informations and articles on the Babylon Working. We have put about 5 or 6 of the videos. We've also connected David Flynn's website, Watcher, where he also connects the alien issue with Aleister Crowley and uncovers and, again, shows many things. Now, the question comes again, my friends, what do we do then when we learn? I mean, again, I will not read every one of Aleister Crowley's books. I will not take the time to do it. I will read from time to time other pieces, materials, and so forth. I understand who he was, what he's doing, or what he's able to do in his influence of his writings today. I've engaged young people and adults, sophisticated military Luciferians that use his material, that appreciate who he was and is, at least in his materials. What they cannot see, like those who believed in the philosophic writings of Nietzsche, is that they died in poverty, mental weakness, lonely, discarded. You see, after Judas opened his heart for Satan to enter in and betray Jesus, he was left on the field, ultimately took his own life, cut down or however fell from his rope into the rocks in that field, Akeldama, the field of blood. And so where is Aleister Crowley now? He's lost forever. The only time he will appear again is at the great white throne judgment at the end of the book of Revelation, in which he will give an account along with Himmler, along with John Dee, along with so many others of their life. The books will be open and everything he's ever done. In secrecy, everything is laid bare. And there is no excuse. What we have to deal with now, though, is the fact that the very possibility of the concept of grace, millions of dollars being spent, hundreds of millions of people around the world and here in the United States believing in extraterrestrials and wanting to contact them. I think it would be a good read at some point too, and I might add on to this course an overview of Richard Hoagland's book on NASA and the dark science, dark mission there, and the occult roots of NASA itself. I think that would be a very good thing for you and I to understand that not only on a ground level do kids out there in game rooms and on the streets get involved in Satanism and read the Satanic Bible, but as they grow and as individuals become adults and they learn, they read philosophy, and again, they don't have Christ in them. That's why it's very important that we reach them young. Matter of fact, when we used to share in Youth for Christ where I was there as a minister, that most people get saved. They get saved between the ages of 8 and 18. Most people give their hearts to Christ in those young days, in their youth. And that the further away from youth they go, statistics showed us, the less likely, you know, in their 50s and 60s and 70s, if their hearts were already made up and if they were already into other things. Oh, that's not to say that people in their 70s and 80s don't get saved. I led my grandmother to Christ when she was just about 80. I led my father to Christ when he was just about 70. But we need to realize that individuals, as we talked about before, Tommy Sullivan, Sean Sellers, let alone some of these major occultists like Aleister Crowley, I wonder what could have happened if we would have engaged them, if we would have influenced them. You see, a life of, you know, in this fallen world where the battle is ongoing, a human life can be, again, God's agenda is not willing that anybody perish, and God's will is that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so the mission of God, go to every creature, go to every highway, go to the byways. And I think, again, if we sit back and realize that God's power, God's attention, God's passion, God's fire spiritually, literally is aimed at New Testament, biblically oriented, compassionate, supernatural evangelism. That if we really do what Jesus said, as we see Philip, that's why we have this great study in this course about the Philip factor. In a town called Samaria, where there was a kind of an Aleister Crowley of that day, a magician that influenced the entire village, the entire town, the high and the low, all the people were being influenced by the great power. Until one individual, filled with the Spirit of God and in sheer obedience, please remember this point, think through it, okay? We receive all things through faith, but we manifest God's presence, power, grace, and works in the obedience. God's grace and love and His very presence comes into your life when you believe and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. When you believe God for the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. But until you step out into obedience to Jesus Christ and obedience to the Word of God, that is when all of that which is in you can pour out of you. And the power of God upon you can pour through you. And literally, God, you being the ambassador, God being the one speaking directly through you, impacting people. That's why we can say, no matter what's going on in this age, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel among all the intellectuals, among all the PhDs, among all the occultists, among all of them. Because when it comes down to it, it is unequaled. It is without equal in every sense. The coming of Christ, who He is, the birth, the virgin birth, the life He lived, the powers that were demonstrated. Just unequaled. Never be ashamed, no matter what, no matter who is around you. Because what you have in your life is absolutely unprecedented, unequaled. It is just absolutely superior in every single way. There is nothing that can come close. Jesus. He is whom Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6, Yahweh Adonai, high and lifted up. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and is to come. So the agenda of God is powerfully moving forward. It's not a matter of you and I just sitting back and watching the satanic developments. This is not just the news for you and I to watch and see what's going on in the world. It's an awareness factor, because Paul talks about it very clearly in 2 Corinthians about not being unaware of Satan's methods, that we might be outwitted. So again, the basis of all this is the Word of God and biblical prophetic teaching, that God has given strategic preemptive insight into the development, the sequential development of the satanic agenda towards the end, which includes the frog in the kettle approach of spiritual deception, engaging the masses. It involves the shock and awe of the great revolt coming. It involves all this secret power of lawlessness operating under the table, spiritually subterranean, until the rise, until it blasts out on into the public after the great revolt and the rise of the Antichrist. Then the unprecedented powers of Satan will be demonstrated. The unprecedented powers of God with his two witnesses, with millions being saved, with the Antichrist being unable to annihilate the Christian church, unable to annihilate Israel, because they are indestructible because of their divine origin. But we do have the greatest, with the greatest and most unequaled time in history, the satanic presence and power manifested, we have, again, the deception. So deception is everywhere in the air, heart and lives. It all comes down, again, to God's love for the world, God's care about a human being. I don't care if you look at hedonism. I don't care if you look at deism, existentialism, nihilism, occultism. There is nothing that reveals the value of mankind, of a human person, greater than that, than biblical revelation. Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The origins of the human race are not found in a being like Lamb, L-A-M, like this deception of the grays. The human race has not been seeded by some master alien race that has to fly around deceptively in little ships that only demonstrate their finite and even evil characteristics. So we need to just literally invade the culture that we live in, and on a daily basis continue to be the great prayer warriors that God wants us to be, continue to carry in a manifested way the living presence of Christ, the power of God, the love and peace that so many are after. I see so many New Agers, they talk about the coming peace, the coming everything. Jesus said, he gives a peace that this world cannot give. It's out of this world. It comes from him. And the mirage of the New Age, their dreams of a coming, the Aquarian conspiracy, Marilyn Ferguson or Barbara Marx Hubbard in their evolution of consciousness, all of this bleeds in. There are streams that all lead to the ocean of satanic deception and destruction. They come from the same direction. What is the source of their spirituality? So by the providence of God, if there's someone from NASA, someone from the NSA, if some of those who are in research of alienology and alien abduction research, what's the source of the spirituality behind all of that? And are there connections with some of the darkest left-hand path occultism? Well, I absolutely, like many others, believe that there is. And you can take a look at that as you research this second part of Session 11. We encourage you to do so. So when you look over the webpage that comes with this MP3, this session, have a lot of different pieces of research you can look over. And the ultimate issue after that is, as a believer in Christ, what will you do? As a believer in Christ, what will you do? If you see such spiritual danger out there, is it just good enough to protect ourselves and our own families? Is it simply good enough to be on the defense? The greatest defense, listen, the greatest defense, you know the answer to this, the greatest defense is an incredibly powerful offense. Walk with Jesus and mightily every single day. Be a worshiper daily. Be at the throne of grace. He'll meet your needs. Become an incredible prayer warrior in the context of your studies, and you're seeing more and more how Satan is stealing human lives. Jesus said he's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's doing it to adults, to teenagers, and to children. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. What good is it if it's put under a bushel? You and I are the light of the world, in which God himself is going to appeal through you, in which in the book of Acts, no healing, no salvation, no sign and wonder, no demonstration of the power of God, no crushing of satanic works occurred without God coming through believing, obedient believers. And you, my dear friend, are to be one of them. Providentially, God, Ephesians chapter 2, that you are literally God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God created in advance for you to do. The center of all that work is the salvation of souls. So just again, surrender to being a soul winner, surrender to being a witness, seek the power clothing of the Holy Spirit from Jesus. It's God's will. And just simply begin to learn all you can. As we've already done in this course, the Philip factor and the concept all through this course, who will you win to Christ this week? And how will you become such a prayer warrior that will advance the cause of Christ, help to get people saved, help to influence your church for the good, and yet use the authority in your prayer life with that authority coming through to trample satanic powers? Well, may the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you. This is Russ Dizdar, shadowthedarkness.net. Please don't forget to keep me in your prayers. If you have questions, please write to me. And if you have, other issues that you need to talk about, we can even engage. I am constantly doing prayer deliverance, even over the phone, let alone being flown into places or people flying into here. But some people have asked, is Russ Dizdar just simply a deliverance minister? No. Russ Dizdar is a cross-cultural missionary. That's what I am. And evangelism is at the forefront. I love teaching and blessing and helping the saints. Was a pastor 30 years, as many of you know. But let me just tell you this. The reason I'm sharing this is that as I look over 30-some years of ministry, I cannot wait for tomorrow. I cannot wait till tomorrow comes, because some of the greatest things in all of history can be done. Because God is working in the world, and I want to be a part of what he is doing. Because I also know that when believers grow cold, grow dead, and become disobedient, no longer put into practice the mission of God, the prayer power that God has given us, that again, it literally allow Satan to encroach and go uncontested. Are you going to let Satan go uncontested? Are you going to let him continue to deceive and draw people away? What is the heart of God? I still see Jesus, God in human flesh, weeping over all of Jerusalem. How often he would have taken all of them, that entire nation, up under his wings. He would have embraced them and loved them and rescued them and saved them. See, the great glorification is coming. All the New Agers and those in the alienology and all those pursuing the dream, the mirage, my friends, the mirage where they're seeing somewhat with this hazy, glassy, spiritual, gaze, a future transformation of humanity, the Luciferian lie of a evolution of human consciousness to deification, of a new planetary peace, no more war, all that kind of stuff. You know what it is? It's hungry, empty souls on their hands and knees crawling through the dry desert of this fallen world. And they see before them an oasis, a new age, a Luciferian oasis. And that's all they see. And they keep moving towards it and moving towards it. And like in films that I've seen, when they get there, it's a real occurrence. That oasis, that dream, was nothing more than a mirage. that it dissipates. And there they are dying, dying in the desert. So those Luciferians, Satanists, secret society servants, Masons, abductees, those in NASA, the NSA, DID, DOD rather, DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, all these groups, they're human beings. They're human beings. And the bottom line is this: God created us. God knows us, loves us, and more than anybody else who could ever conceive, wants us. The infinite, immeasurable, and awesome and incredible God wants. Think of your heart. What do you want? You know what God wants? The Greek says it this way, pos anthropos, all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And I love to tell people that. I love to look them in the face in our discussions and say with the confidence of biblical revelation, John 3:16-17, hey, God really does love you totally, and he knows you, everything about you, and he wants you. And if you'll listen to me and let me tell you the message of God, the gospel, the good news, the incredible news, the great news of God, it'll be like something you've never heard of. And the offer that God gives is unlike any offer. The summoning to come back home, to come to God, is unlike anything anybody has ever offered. Come out of the darkness and into reality, aletheia, truth, into the light of the living, infinite, personal God, and be saved, rescued, spiritually transformation that will lead to glorification, to indestructible immortality, into a place in all of creation that is literally higher than anything in existence. Hey, may the Lord bless you, keep you, strengthen you, and bless you. I'm going on and on here sharing what is in my heart, and my hope and my prayer is that you will be sharing Jesus out of your heart with individuals, and that you will know again and again and again that the love of God, the grace of God, the might of God, the goodness of God, greater is the one in you than he who's in the world. And yes, you and I can, by the grace and shielding power of God, 1 Peter 1. Shielding power of God, 1 Peter 1. We can delve into these studies so that we can even in a sense better engage and maybe even be just gripped by God to literally target, go to these highways and byways and compel them to come in.